Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me read to you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to know Him and grow up in Him. Today I'll be sharing a message on the crown of life. James said in James chapter 1 and verse 12, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." The word crown in Strong's is number 4735. And it's a primary word, which means a twine or a wreath, a chaplet or of royalty, a prize in the public games, or a symbol of honor. Figurative or literally, a crown. The overcomer's crown is an award given to those who love God and finish their race by overcoming sin and the devil. The crown is given to those who trust the Lord in areas where they would normally be tempted to put their own personal needs first. Our natural love is selfish, but those who've experienced His love become a channel of pure love to others. John said in 1 John 4 and verse 19, "We love Him because He first loved us." From the moment we are born again, we are given the capacity to express His love. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loves Him that begat loves Him also that is begotten of Him." Verse 2. "But this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." In the Amplified Bible, 1 John 5 and verse 1 says, "Everyone who believes, adheres to, trusts, and relies on the fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, is a born-again child of God. And everyone who loves the Father also loves the one born of Him, His offspring." Those who are born again, following Christ, love Jesus and the Father. Jesus was speaking to His disciples in the upper room and said in John 14:15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Not all those who are born again are following Christ. But if you love the Lord, you are not afraid to seek God for commands, as it's a way of expressing love to God and is part of a true, intimate relationship with the Father and the Son. There are big commands and small commands. The bigger commands require more love. If someone gets a harder command, they are blessed, because God is faithful and able to supply even for the toughest assignments. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, I'm reading. This is starting in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." By obeying His commands, everyone now can do the things that originate from God, free from the corruption that is in this world. By faith, I can be part of something that will overcome the world. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children. Verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given us himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savour. For more information on how to develop a love relationship with the Lord, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. We cannot have the life God planned without him being the source of our love through a love relationship with God in Christ. John also said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. Those abiding in Christ have life, but those who are in and out of Christ never experience that life that God intended. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, and ye are the branches, and he that abides in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. We also have to submit to God in everything. Jesus said in John 10, verses 7 to 11, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8. And all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. The life that is in Christ involves making Jesus Lord. He is a savior, but you only experience eternal salvation by making him Lord. Jesus is the door, and you need to enter the sheepfold and stay close to him. You do not go outside the protection of his sheepfold unless he is leading you out, because there are thieves and robbers outside. Jesus said in John 10, verses 27 to 30, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 27. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. Only those who hear, get to know, and follow Christ will never perish. You may have believed that you will never perish just because you're born again. Some believe that you only need to be born again to be saved so that they can still be lord of their own lives and do what they want. Repent now and do your first works over. The salvation that God provides is only for those who stop making the decisions with their own mind and follow Christ by hearing his voice. We read in Isaiah 55 and verse 3, incline your ear, come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It is not going to get any easier to be faithful. Temptation in this world is already increasing. The devil is angry now because he will soon meet his end. If you already believe lies so that you can do what you want to do instead, then how will you not escape the temptation that is coming on this world? Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. This is the book of Revelation chapter 3, starting in verse 10. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Verse 11. Behold, I will come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man may take your crown. When Jesus comes back and sets up his literal kingdom on the earth, there will be no opportunity for anyone to do what they want. We read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6, it says, Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The gift of eternal life was given so you can effectively follow Christ by faith, hear his voice, and get to know him. It's a gift paid for on the cross by Jesus because God so dearly loved the world. Jesus said in John 3:16, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life according to Jesus is defined in one verse. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 3, And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The Old Testament saints were seeking to obey God, but never knew how God was going to remove all their confessed sin. They believed by faith that God was going to provide a solution, a redeemer, so that they could continually experience his presence. They did not perish because of their faith in God. David said in the Psalms, chapter 16, I'm reading verses 8 to 11. He said in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Verse 9, Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoice. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 10, For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Verse 11, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in the presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David let the Lord direct him and experience his presence, and let God use him. Paul said in Hebrews 11 and verse 5 and 6, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 5. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Verse 6. But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch did not have the promises of God in the New Testament, but he was diligently seeking to please God and did not give up. Enoch had faith that God would have mercy on him, even though he may have failed many times. We read in Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. This is Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. Verse 23. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch had 365 years to work on his relationship with God and to find out what pleased God and what did not. You do not have that amount of time, but you have the forgiveness of sins and the grace of God so that you can change, repent, and learn quickly by the Holy Spirit. We read in John chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is John's Gospel, chapter 1, starting in verse 16. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Verse 17. And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The Galatians listened to those keeping the law instead, because they wanted to still do whatever they wanted and not endure conviction. Paul told them in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Your righteousness now depends on following Christ, not on keeping the law. There is no life without the cross. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, starting verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. Verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Your faith should be in God, and the paths that he has chosen for you personally. God gave you some talents for this life, but not too many. He gave you more weaknesses than strengths, so that you could learn to depend on him. Some talents were given so you could earn enough money to pay the bills. James said in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 11, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, verse 10, but the rich in that he has been made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof faileth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade in all his ways. In the Amplified Bible, in James chapter 1 and verse 9, says this, Let the brother in humble circumstances glory in his elevation as a Christian, called to the true riches and to be an heir of God. Not many see humble circumstances as a means to getting the crown of life faster. Difficulties help you to trust the Lord. Those comfortable now will be caught unawares. Jesus said in Luke 6, 24 and 25. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 24. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Verse 25. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. The weaknesses he gave you are part of the plan too, so that you could learn to live the life of faith and see what God could do through his power. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 9. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore, I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. By trusting in the Lord with all your heart, you will preserve your souls or character, because you have made him the functional Lord of your life. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul was not high-minded and always referred to himself as the chief of sinners. By faith he used the grace to rescue himself, first from the lies of the devil. Then he repented of dead works and immediately began to work on his calling. We read what happened at his conversion in Acts chapter 9, verses 19 and 20. This is Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. The foundations he took from those disciples had to be laid properly in him. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God." The devil is the god of this world, giving people what they want just so he can control them. If you doubt God's wisdom, then you have listened to another voice instead, based on the lust of the flesh. The mess in your life before you are born again should have convinced you that natural wisdom is flawed. His grace and mercy at salvation gave you an opportunity to start a new life by obeying the Spirit instead. Despite this grace, some still go back to their old ways and do not enter the kingdom of heaven because they did not repent of dead works at the start and still listen to a wrong voice. James said in James chapter 3 and verse 15, "This wisdom that descends not from above is earthly, sensual, and devilish." Earthly wisdom is flawed without access to truth through the Holy Spirit. God's solution includes getting to the root of the problem, which includes repenting of your own lordship. Solomon describes godly wisdom like this. In Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verses 15 to 20. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 15. "She is more precious than rubies, and all of the things that thou can desire are not compared unto her." Verse 16. "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor." Verse 17. "Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace." Verse 18, "She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retains her." Verse 19, "The Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens." Verse 20, "By his knowledge and the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew." Godly wisdom is not found without asking God. Others who have a close relationship with God have found answers by seeking God and denying self because they believe God's ways are better. Godly wisdom is given to those who love Jesus and have made him Lord of their lives. Those on the narrow way are not seeking solutions to life's problems. They are seeking solutions to obey him and keep his commands because their focus is on pleasing him. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." In the book, The Guilty Prison, revised edition in chapter 4, on page 40, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "The root of all sin is your lordship, along with its natural understanding, desires, and agendas. Your sins can be blatant or subtle. You might be tempted by obvious lusts of the flesh or do good works to be righteous in yourself. You may also have personal desires that are legitimate requests. But instead of asking God to meet your needs, you pursue those desires from your carnal nature. As part of your first works, you should have been made aware of the life you failed to live for him in the past while serving your own desires and obvious lusts. Part of your repentance of dead works is to redeem lost time and live a life of faith, obeying the Spirit." Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 to 17. This is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 14. "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." Verse 16, "Redeeming the time, because the days are evil." Verse 17, "Wherefore ye are not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." William Booth, in 1829 to 1912, was an English Methodist preacher who, along with his wife, founded the Salvation Army. He said this, "We must wake ourselves up, or somebody else will take our place and bear our cross and therefore rob us of our crown. Wake up to the right way of living by faith, denying self and trusting God completely. Start seeking God, what He wants you to do now, and He will give you some light. He is Lord, so do not try and understand anything with your mind. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2, and reading to verse 4. This is Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You will strive against sin to win the crown of life. You can start now by getting in shape spiritually. Striving is not competing directly with anyone else. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 24. Know ye not that that which runneth in a race run all, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. Verse 25. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they that do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Verse 26. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air. Verse 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. The word castaway in Strong's is number 96, and it comes from another word which means unapproved, that is rejected, by implication, worthless, morally or literally, a castaway. Paul went through some striving and learned to hit the targets that God was setting for his life by hearing the Lord clearly and obeying. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, wherefore, seeing we are also encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Winning your race of faith depends on faith in God and having ears to hear what is needed. Run your race with patience and process everything with the Holy Spirit by faith. James said in James chapter 1 and verses 5 to 8, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraids them not, and it shall be given him. Verse 6, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7, and let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Wisdom does not replace repentance. You will need to deal with any doubts and unbelief. You can ask any question and he will answer, but when you are questioning God's directions, then you are questioning the true nature of God and his integrity. God is able to do everything through you when he is Lord, because he has access to all the resources of heaven. John said in 1 John chapter 1 verses 4 and 5, I'm reading 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. At the start, you experience a lot of conviction, so begin repenting of many things. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in the great house, that are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Verse 21, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, and sanctified, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Make sure you repent of dead works, and realize that in those areas your faith was not in God. Paul said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 32, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Jesus gave this commission to the Apostle Paul for the Gentiles. Jesus said in Acts 26 and verse 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Your eternal inheritance is not just based on being born again. You have to be sanctified and set apart from this world by following Christ. This is still available to the Gentiles now. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 10, this is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. He said, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, and he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that everybody faces the same problems, that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. The word sober in Strong's is number 3525. It basically means to abstain from wine or keep sober, figuratively, but it means also to watch. I believe Jesus could have locked up the devil a long time ago, but he did not. Being sober means doing everything in moderation, as the devil will certainly feed any desires you might have. God cares for you, so confess your sins and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. The devil holds many prisoners, serving feelings, emotions, or a desire for earthly happiness. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, he that commits sin is of the devil, for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. For more information on ways that seem right, please read the book The Guilted Prison, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. If you are committing the same sin again and again, the devil is destroying your life and stealing your full potential. We read in John 14, and verse 6. This is John 14 and verse 6. And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The definition of life is Jesus Christ himself. The tree of life in the Garden of Eden represents the cross. The cross does not appeal to the flesh. It is unlikely you were told about the functional lordship of Jesus Christ when you were first born again. However, we read in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. I'm reading Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24, for whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? The word for castaway is number 2210. It comes from another word which means to endure, that is, passively to experience detriment, to be cast away, to receive damage, loss, or suffer loss. If you are concerned about this life and trying to always save it, you will end up losing your life and character according to Jesus. There is nothing in this world worth striving for. You will suffer loss in this life and lose that crown too. The devil will make you comfortable in a prison so you do not realize and fall asleep spiritually. God sent you here to planet Earth with a mission, and he will provide whatever you need to complete that mission. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. I'm starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly an eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What you gain in this life, you cannot take with you, and it's temporal. The devil's work is based on lies, tempting people to exchange something eternal for something temporal. The light affliction is also a confirmation that you're on the narrow way, following Christ, because the devil is the god of this world. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Verse 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Paul was getting his crown because he had kept to the course that God had set for him. Paul also said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, if any man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. In the Amplified, 2 Timothy 2, verse 5 says, and if anyone enters competitive games, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully, fairly, according to the rules laid down. You can also have that crown by keeping to the course God has set for your life. David said in Psalms 19 and verses 1 to 6, I'm reading, this is the Psalms, chapter 19, starting in verse 1. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament, and showeth his handy work. Verse 2. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Verse 4. Their light is gone out throughout all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. Verse 5. Which is a bridegroom coming out of its chamber and rejoicing as a strong man to run a race. Verse 6. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The heavens are his handiwork too, and glorify God. Everything has a course set in the heavens. You are also his workmanship in Christ. And God has a circuit for you to finish your race. Use this time now to get in shape spiritually. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, Revised Edition, in chapter 12 on page 160, Joseph Hedgecott writes, study the word and practice abiding in God's presence. Familiarize yourself with the presence of the Holy Spirit. Work on allowing the peace of God to rule in your heart consistently rather than moving in and out of his peace. Step out in faith to obey each word you have tested. Focus on sowing love into God through obedience. As you love God, he will love you in return, but in a much greater measure. As you stay humble before God, you will grow in love and grace. The more consistent you are, the faster you will grow. The church of Philippi had Paul's help initially as an example. Paul said in Philippians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You have everything you need in your salvation by grace through faith to obey and live that life of obedience through the Spirit. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You cannot replace obedience to the Spirit with works. Your salvation includes walking out the things that God has given you to do in this life, when he sent you to this planet. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 14. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not your own understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Verse 8. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the firstfruits of all thine increase. Verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. Verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delights. Verse 13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man that gets understanding. Verse 14. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. We are saved by grace through faith. We are standing by grace, and grace will help us finish our race. Use the grace to seek God for his commands. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. As a child of God, you have the possibility to hear God. Pride will lead to a fall. Thinking is dangerous. Deny yourself daily, so you do not feed the carnal nature. The devil roars loudly, but he has no teeth, because Christ died on the cross and he has the devil on a leash. God is in control. You only need to deal with your own personal desires and lusts and repent. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 15. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt ye any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. The devil is not the problem. God is not the problem. But man is the problem, because he listens to a wrong voice. If you end up in sin, God is faithful and he will forgive you. You sin because you've been feeding the flesh. Humble yourselves and make sure you do your first works again if necessary. James said in James chapter 4 verses 6 and 7. I'm reading. This is James chapter 4 starting in verse 6. But he gives more grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil is the one trying to keep you comfortable over a period of time, so you lose any rewards you could have had. The devil will tell you lies that God's ways are hard, and you will not do yourself any favors by believing and spreading his lies that following Jesus is hard. James said in James chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. This is James chapter 1, starting in verse 1. James, a servant of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. Verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The devil cannot offer you anything once you have discovered the pleasure of doing the will of God and pleasing the Father. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 to 10, I'm reading. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be content therewith. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. What God provides should be enough for you. Chasing after money brings many sorrows, and you cannot take anything with you. If you have not learned to be content with basic things, you will lose the crown of life chasing after earthly things. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 to 6, this is Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes the saints. Verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Verse 5. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. The devil cannot make you sin. You choose to sin based on lies and unbelief. Those in love with Jesus are not easily tempted because they are too busy seeking God, trying to please him. You maintain your first love by diligently seeking God for commands. Your love for Jesus should far exceed anything else. Then you will have time to repent before you lose your first love. Paul continued in 1 Corinthians 10 and 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry, letting anything exalt itself above God as number one in your life is idolatry. Jesus said in Luke chapter 16 and verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The devil works by feeding your carnal nature, so you start to love something else and lose your first love. John said in 1 John 2 and verse 14 to 17. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Paul experienced God's love in many different situations. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verses 36 to 39. This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 36. As is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Verse 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Verse 39. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Those experiences Paul had came from following Christ. Timothy was told to pass on Paul's testimonies of following Jesus to others. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul was not passing on teachings, but what he had experienced by grace through faith. Paul had some amazing testimonies seen by many witnesses. He got those testimonies by following Christ. All the help you need is available by grace on the narrow way. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 13. Enter in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it. Some spend their whole life following a way that seems right, making excuses, and never learn to hear his voice. They're always using their minds instead to make choices. The narrow way is full of difficulties, but leads to life. Those obstacles can even provide some short-term and long-term goals. If Jesus is your Lord, he is your coach for all the obstacles you encounter in life, so you can overcome easily by grace through faith and win the crown of life. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verses 3 and 4. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The devil may have offered you an easier way in the past and easily stopped you from following Christ, and you're now out of shape spiritually. Your flesh will feel uncomfortable on the first day you start following Christ. Also, each time you make a fresh start, it may even resemble the first day of basic training in the military, like somebody's trying to kill you. This is what I felt like on the first trip with Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servant Thorn Ministries, that lasted 4 weeks. Joseph's background in the military police prepared him for the calling he had. You need to be soldier-minded to stay on the narrow way. The devil will try and tell you the narrow way is always hard. You need a vision of winning that crown, because the narrow way will not feel bad when you're in shape spiritually. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 to 4, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 2. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus is the true shepherd, and leaders should be ready to warn his people of eternal losses if they are not following Christ. They should be examples themselves and not serving money. A lack of contentment will hinder you from having a ready mind. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You have two natures. It is your responsibility to feed the right nature. If you do not starve the flesh, it will be more difficult to hear the Lord the next day. When you are spiritually lukewarm, both natures are being fed, so you will never obey God consistently. In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, Revised Edition, in chapter 8 on page 89, Joseph Hedgecock writes, God will anoint you to do whatever he tells you to do. He has a plan for my life, and he has a plan for your life as well. The devil knows that the only way he can keep you from God's plan is by tempting you to operate in your reasoning where you can't communicate with God because you're in the flesh. This walk isn't complicated. Satan will try to confuse you if he can. He will tell you this is too hard, that God doesn't require this of you. Yes, it's a little difficult in the beginning when you begin practicing self-denial. However, if you are consistent, the discomfort will only last for a short time. It's a bit like trying to quit smoking. The best way to do it is to quit all at once. It's very hard for the first few days, but it can be done. When I quit smoking many years ago, I put a New Testament in my pocket so I could read a verse when I reached for a cigarette from habit. After a few days, it got a lot easier. In 2 or 3 weeks, the habit was totally broken, and I have never been tempted to smoke again. This same principle works in the spiritual realm when you change from running your own life to letting the Lord run your life. The devil can easily build a prison around someone not denying themselves daily. If God provides something that comes as a result of seeking God first, it's authorized. The devil wants to feed your imagination and desires so that your flesh gets stronger and stronger, and then when it comes to the point of temptation, you cannot hear God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 to 12, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 2, starting in verse 9. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and they that who are sanctified, all are of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Jesus is willing to share his inheritance with all those suffering on the narrow way, even if you are still making mistakes and being sanctified. This must make the devil angry. Paul was a Jew, persecuting the church and zealous, devoting himself to meetings in the synagogue. But he was changed. He came to know God and was willing to suffer for following Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Paul had a confidence in the flesh before his conversion, but he was going the wrong direction. after he was converted, however, he was also zealous for the righteousness of God by faith. It would have been easy for Paul to just be religious, but this is what happened at his conversion. We read in Acts chapter 9, verses 3 to 5. I'm reading Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from the heavens. Verse 4. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? Verse 5. And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou art persecuting. It is hard for thee to kick against the bricks. The word persecute in Strong's is number 1377. It also means to flee or to pursue, literally. It also means to persecute or follow after or given to with much suffering. Paul had a God-given drive in him, but this was being used by the devil. God was pricking his conscience, and he was even fighting conviction until he made Jesus Lord. He then let God use the same drive to make his flesh uncomfortable instead, and embrace conviction to obtain spiritual things. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 to 18, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto the things which are before. Verse 14. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything, you are otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and I mark them which walk so as we walk, as for an example. Verse 18, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. The word press in Strong's is number 1377, which is the same word as the word persecutest at his conversion. Paul was serving a dead religion, but he gave his all for it. And when he started serving Christ, he was 100% for conviction too. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 6, For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. If you're not embracing conviction, you're already letting the devil control you instead through the flesh. It's only a matter of time before you deceive yourself. Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Patiently follow, or walk out his instructions by faith, and the flesh will get weaker and weaker. Do not go too fast, as you may start doing things in the flesh otherwise, and the devil can fill your mind with other things. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, I'm reading verses 5 to 8. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, I am persuaded that is in thee also. Verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Verse 7, For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Your mind belongs to God, and it should be filled with his thoughts. In the Amplified Bible, Philippians 3:14 says, I press on towards the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. You have to be pursuing the prize that God has set for you. Check that your mind is focused on the calling you have and that you are not anxious, so that he can fill your mind with his thoughts regularly. The Holy Spirit will bring thoughts to your mind and other spiritual truths if you are sober-minded, soldier-minded, and pressing towards the mark. If your mind is sound, you have a love for the truth, and you will endure chastening and have a hunger for his commandments. Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 21, Blessed are they that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. For those who are repenting now, you are coming to the happiest time of your life. You're going to get married. I believe you will get a reward and get to wear the crown of life. Those Christians with a confidence in the flesh left behind on this earth will weep bitterly. John spoke of the corruption in the church in his first letter. John said in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 7, Little children, let no man deceive you. He that does righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. This verse is a warning to all those born again who claim they're righteous, trusting in the finished work of Christ, but not hungering after righteousness and seeking commands daily. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6, Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is coming soon, and those who overcome temptation, sin, and the devil will inherit all things. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. This is the book of Revelation, chapter 21 and verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Carnal Christians don't have their focus on overcoming because they have been told lies that they do not need to seek God and deny themselves daily. The devil will tell you lies, that there is no suffering necessary. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You do not actually lose anything by following Christ. Instead, it is automatically sent on ahead if you give it to God. The best bank account is in heaven. What you commit to God now, you will keep forever. The cross is the place where you lose something in the natural realm to gain something in the eternal realm and keep it for eternity. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verses 25 to 27, This is Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 25. But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we not wait patiently for it? Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You can talk to God about the things he promised. You may not receive everything that has been promised in this life now, but you will get it later when you are ruling with Jesus. This is actually a better time to enjoy God's provision if you qualify to rule and reign. You will have a glorified body. Jesus will reveal the exact purpose of his word and how everything God planned should have been enjoyed. God's purpose for the animals and all creation will be seen at that time, and he will provide the foods everyone needs for health and happiness. So let's not be discouraged by losing something in this time period. If you really love the Lord, then you will see God turning all things to your good. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." There's only two conditions for this promise. Number one, that he is your first love. Number two, that you are working on your calling. The crown is only given to those that love him. If God is making everything work to your good now, you know you're on schedule for that crown. Even when you go without something, it works to your good. Loving God and working on his calling will appear foolish to the rest of the world. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm reading verses 25 to 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 25 says, "Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." Verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." Verse 27, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." Verse 28, "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Verse 29, "That no flesh should glorify in his presence." By faith we know God's foolishness is greater. The cross is an example of this. Don't feel intimidated by this world if you are led by the Spirit and living on the narrow way. Your life will bring glory to God. There is no exception. You don't have to be educated. With God you can start immediately. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 verses 3 and 4. This is Matthew's Gospel chapter 18 starting in verse 3. And said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." You become like a little child to enter. However, that same humility is standard throughout the kingdom of heaven. You may humble yourself just so that he can use you. However, the greatest in the kingdom is the one who is representing the Father like a little child. The only thing that stops you from becoming like a little child is your own pride. We are not working for material gain, but learning a new operating system to be free from sin and be part of the kingdom now and forever. There is no democracy in heaven. Stop trying to work out things with your mind. You cannot appreciate the kingdom of God with your mind because God's ways are higher. He also sees the end from the beginning. But you can obey now by the Spirit. The kingdom of God has been here since the day of Pentecost. We read in Luke 17 verses 20 and 21. This is Luke's Gospel chapter 17 starting in verse 20. "And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Verse 21, "Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is here now, but it is not political, as otherwise the angels would start confronting those leaders promoting anti-Christian laws today. Instead, the kingdom of God is here to help those who want to repent before it's too late. In the kingdom to come, his instructions will even come through you if you're representing him and not yourself. The Pharisees saw the kingdom as earthly, with just rules and laws, and foolishly thought that they can easily be part of it because of knowledge and outward righteousness. They had a confidence in the flesh. However, Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father which is in heaven." Many children of God are trapped because they are still following the pattern of this world after they were born again. They still have a confidence in the flesh because they did not repent and see the shame of dead works at salvation. Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 5, this is John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 5. "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The water in this verse represents water baptism and repentance from dead works. The devil can easily steal, kill, or destroy at his leisure those who are born again living in a prison. Normally someone who's born again would set off the alarm. But due to pride and a fear of failure, many keep quiet. If that does not keep people quiet, the devil makes the prison comfortable instead. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Paul told Timothy to flee the comfortable life. The word "follow after" in verse 11 is the same word that Paul used when he said, "I press towards the mark" in Philippians 3:14. It means to pursue or even persecute, go after with a passion. I've listed these six things to follow after and included some extra words that appear in the Amplified Bible. Righteousness, right standing with God, and true goodness. Godliness, which is loving the fear of God and being Christ-like. Faith, trusting God and actions that show this. Love, for God and not for the things of this world. Patience, steadfastness, meekness, gentleness of heart. If you are busy pursuing these six things, then you will not have time to pursue anything else. If you were ever in the Scouts or Girl Guides, badges were given in different disciplines. This list from Paul to Timothy is many disciplines that you can do on the way to winning the crown of life. You do not just claim each one. I believe you need a passing grade on all these subjects. Ask God for a percentage mark for each one. He knows. By grace, you can work on one thing at a time. You will establish each in your life by being a doer of the word. Paul also gave a similar list in his second letter to Timothy. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." The word "flee" in Strong's is number 5343, and is apparently a primary verb. It means to run away, by implication to shun or escape from. Young people today do not flee youthful lust, and instead think they can stay out late, go nightclubbing, and handle temptation. This is a confidence in the flesh found even in some carnal Christians. Paul said in Romans 8 and verse 5, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." In Joseph's youth, he saw other young people getting hurt, falling into sin and temptation. Joseph said for him there was an invisible barrier in his life that he could not cross when he was younger. Joseph also left home on his own, but his own father prayed and had a strong faith that God would bring Joseph back and establish him in the ministry. His father was a Presbyterian minister for 60 years, but he did not have to pray all the time. He handed over the situation to God, was not anxious, but trusting in what God promised him. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You should have a deep peace in this life if you are spiritually minded. Those who are spiritually minded are concerned about their spiritual inheritance. Use the time now to repent and get to the root of any carnal desires. Youthful lusts will reappear if you have not done your first works properly. Your fight is not with the devil. It is with the flesh. The devil is only tempting you to fulfill your own desires. We read in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." You cannot make a special prayer to win the crown of life. You have time now to kill that flesh. The devil has no access to those living in the kingdom on the narrow way. Jesus prayed for his disciples and all those following him. Jesus said in John 17 and verse 15, "I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil." There are many other promises in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, where Jesus prayed for those who have overcome by faith, using the gift of eternal life, denying self and taking up their cross daily. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, "Fear none of these things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Jesus is coming soon. Paul got the crown by keeping his faith in God up to the very end of his life. It was not based on ministry works either. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. I'm reading Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 8. "Yea, doubtless I count all things but for loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Verse 9. "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." When Jesus came the first time, he did not kick out the Romans, remove the Pharisees, or lock up the devil. Jesus brought grace and truth, and he was meek, doing the Father's will. Paul proved that the grace of God was sufficient as well to finish his race. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 12. "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and professed a good profession before many witnesses." Verse 13. "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession." This is how it will be at the end, for all those who have overcome sin, the flesh, and the devil. We read in Revelation chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. This is Revelation chapter 4, starting in verse 10. "The 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne, and worship him that lives for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying," verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." It's one thing to receive a reward from a man, but it's another thing to receive an award from the Lord Jesus Christ. This crown is a high honor, and it's not given to everyone. Light afflictions will expose areas where your foundation is weak or missing. just repent, and with grace and truth, you can now get to the root of your sin. I have made a list. The crown is given to those who are, one, not making excuses for sin and overcoming temptation and the devil. Number two, using the grace and truth to find answers and repent. Number three, living in the light and zealous for conviction. Number four, using the blood of Jesus to get back in his presence immediately. Number five, having no confidence in the flesh. Number six, not enticed by the things of the world, loving this world. Number seven, sober-minded, soldier-minded, pressing towards the mark. Number eight, denying themselves daily and taking up their cross daily. Number nine, loving God first and not loving their own lives unto death. If you're not already pressing towards the mark, you can start by denying yourself daily and taking up your cross. The cross is God's wisdom revealed through our Lord Jesus Christ, who submitted himself to the plan of God. You have the same opportunity to win the crown of life now by submitting to God and resisting the devil. The devil is on the loose, but the kingdom of God is here now, which you can enter now and live there by faith. Do not be concerned about what the devil is doing. The devil gets all his activities published on TV and the internet because he is the god of this world. If you keep listening to what the devil is doing, you will lose the peace of God. The day of no repentance is coming soon, and the world is still here. So his people have more time and grace to get ready. Be alert, wake up, and learn to hear God for yourself. If you want to hear God, get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit, experience your salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from trusting God. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition, by Joseph Hedgecock. This message today is for those who really want to win their crown. You were created especially for this time. You are unique. You're like a snowflake sent here by God. He sent you here for a purpose. And when God sent you here, he wanted you to fulfill something in a particular way and not be conformed to this world. I pray that this message has touched your heart and invigorated you so that you have decided to deny yourself and follow him. No turning back. I want to pray with you right now that you will fulfill the commission that God has given you personally and be the person that God wants you to be. Heavenly Father, I pray for the grace of God again to be increased as those listening to this message humble themselves and pray and seek to do thy will. Father, you promised that you would give them light as they began to seek the next step for them, even if it's just a small step of obedience by the Spirit. Father, I know you promised you would give them light. And I'm asking right now that that will be the way they live from now on. But thy word will be a lamp unto their feet and allow them to follow that simple life in trust and faith. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I hope you've been enjoying these messages. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below, either directly or via a link on our website. Our contact details will follow after this message. God bless you.